Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's an exhortation. From verse 14, and I'll read it up to verse 18. And please, be reverent so that you can catch something. It said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Verse 7 is my emphasis. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Praise the Lord. And the little exhortation, I just titled it, "Separation to Unite." Separation to unite. Amen. Remember that the Christian faith is a marriage between Christ and the church. The Christian faith is a marriage. And this is the way that Apostle Paul put it, quoting what God said in Genesis, in Ephesians chapter 5. Can we just open it? Ephesians chapter 5. And from verse 31. Amen. From verse 30, please. He said, "For we are members of his body." Please listen carefully, because when scriptures are read like this, there is something we want to bring out from there. It's not a theology, it is a revelation. "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Note again, "For this cause," verse 31, "shall a man leave." I say it is separation. I'm talking about separation to unite. And that is a marriage. That is a marriage. "For this cause shall a man leave," separate, "leave his father and mother, and shall be joined," united, "unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Then verse 32, he says, "This is a great mystery." He said, "But I speak concerning Christ and the church." He said, "It is a great mystery, and that is the mystery of separating, leaving your father and mother, and being joined to your wife." He said, "It is a great mystery." Amen. And because people don't understand what that mystery is, marriage means nothing to them. So if he says it's a mystery, then what is he trying to tell us? First and foremost, when this was speaking to me, I shouted my wife. I was telling my wife, I said, "See something I just catch here." No wonder. Hallelujah. The Bible says, there's a songwriter that says, "He came from heaven to earth." Jesus himself, he left his father. The first separation, to be united to his church, to his bride, The first person that did that separation was Jesus himself. He left his father to come so that he can be joined to his wife. And they will become one flesh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that is why, to show us a type of what he wants to do, William Branham preached a message that he titled that something like this: God's word calls for total separation. The title of a message I read so many years ago. He said, God's word calls for total separation. And the reason this is coming as an exhortation at this hour is I'm inspired to bring this to our attention is because of what is happening around the world. Church, Satan has invaded the church. Satan has invaded the church. Until now, churches now are no longer places to go and have spiritual refreshment. Now, churches have become social gathering, nothing beyond that. Some of you send some of these funny clips to me. And there is one malam advocating for Christ. I don't know who has ever seen that. You have seen that? Aboki for Christ. A comedian. Very funny. And you know where he's doing that? At the altar. Altar of winners. I saw it. And he's sitting down there and making jokes with scriptures. Tying it. And then everybody is laughing. Shaka. Special guest of honor. Look at what is happening, especially in Pentecostal churches. And then in churches that people have respect for. They are the recognized churches. And before you know what, sanctity of the gospel is being pushed out. And the world is getting more and more taking over the church. The church is yoking herself with the world. Until Christianity now is something you can't even describe. So when some of us who are rigid, standing on the faith, they look at us as fanatics. Our time, people cannot come to our church in the number that they go to their own. And it is important that we let you know, Apostle Paul said, that we are not unaware of the device of Satan. It is our responsibility to call your attention so that you don't get taken away by that nonsense that is going on. First and foremost, God was going to pick a man through whom he will now establish his covenant and begin the process of redeeming his children back to himself. He picked Abraham. Can we read Genesis chapter 13? Chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Let's see the way the Bible put it. Genesis chapter 12, the first 5 verses there. Let's read it. Now, amen. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. Church, listen. This is, you say, God call me. Did God call you? Every Christian, you have answered God's call. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a call. Every Christian, the Bible says that our call is a holy call. So, the beginning of call is Abraham. and God called Abraham. The first thing is, get thee out of thy country. God will not deal with Abraham in that setting that he was. And from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, he said, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Who did God call? And what did he say? He said, he should go with, away from his country, from his kindred, and from his father's house. That's why Will Abraham continually emphasized that God's call, it comes from total separation. The reason is because what God is going to deal with you that he called, hallelujah, it will not be effective if you mingle yourself with that old setting. There was something wrong. That's why God pulled you out. But see what happened to Abraham. That is the position of many of us here. Verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. God called Abraham. Did he call Lot? Amen. The Bible, look, God's call is first and foremost an individual one. All this one that you drag yourself, drag your brother, drag your wife, drag anybody, drag. That's how God wanted to save Lot. Okay? Then he saved him together with the wife, Abby. If Lot had turned to by the destruction of his wife, when the wife was not following again, and decided to turn back, what would have happened to him? If he had bothered himself with the whereabouts of his wife, in the obedience of God's commandment, he would have been finished. When it comes to obeying God's word, a second person, a third party, must not come in your decision to follow or obey God. And that is the problem most of us have. You say you are a Christian, and you are bothered about what unbelievers talk about you. You say you are a Christian, and you are concerned about what people who don't believe what you believe are saying concerning you. That's the problem most of us have. Church, this heavenly race is first and foremost an individual race. It's an individual race. When Peter said, make your calling and election sure, he was saying something to us. Every man shall give account of himself. No husband will give account for his wife. No wife will give account of his of her husband. Take note of that. And I'm not preaching disobedience. I am preaching something that will make you know how to walk among these unbelievers. Because when you succumb to them, you are defeated. Because the truth is this. The true Christian faith is a rugged faith. Forget this nonsense. They are talking about grace. Mercy. They will not quote the meaning of what Jesus said. If you will follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. They will not go that way. the peace scriptures of God's blessings. But you can only be pleading God's blessings if you are under the atonement. If you are under the blood. And you cannot be under the blood outside of the cross. Nobody can get to heaven by passing the cross. Take note of it. And some of us here, praise the Lord, it is because you have refused to focus on your call as a Christian. Focus on the revelation that God has given you. Focus on the mercy that God has given to allow you see the gospel as it should be seen. You are busy compromising with certain things in the world. And let me tell you that God will never move with you until you come to Him the way He has called you. Oh yes. There are so many of us here. You gave your life to Christ. And you are full of expectation of the hand of God to be upon you. And you are not seeing that hand. It's the trouble, 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 trouble. That was the position of Abraham. No peace. Why? Because he took Lot along with him. The Bible says God called Abraham and called him alone. He called him alone. He called Moses Alu alone. He did not have family meeting with my family before calling me. So how my family feels about my faith does not matter to me. How my friends feel about me does not matter to me. Because I was somewhere last month or so in Spain, the first day of the meeting in Spain. I was preaching and I was saying something. A woman was smoking and smoking. A cigarette everywhere smoking. And I said, there's a woman sitting here. You smoke. Who are you? Come. God wants to deliver you. Nobody came out. Until the third day, the last day of the program. When we closed, a young girl came to me and told me that, do I remember the revelation I gave on Friday? I said, yeah, so, so, so. He said she was the one. That she was too ashamed to come out. What happened? She came across this message through our broadcast. In one other country, I've forgotten which country she said. While she was there with brethren there, she stopped wearing trousers. She stopped painting her face. She stopped all those things they do to their hair. And you know all those things the European people do. Then she had to relocate to another country. And then, the people she met there were always taunting her. A beautiful girl like you, see the way you dress. So no earring, hey. You wear trousers, hey. She said, before you know what, she blended among them. When she heard that I was coming to Spain, she decided to come. She said, that day that I was saying, she was sitting in the congregation with trousers. She put on one kind attachment. Cigarettes, when she did smoke, she was addicted to cigarettes. He said it was an addiction. He said immediately I mentioned that something hit her. She was crying throughout the program. She went home, packed all the cigarettes, threw them away, removed those attachments. When she stood before me, he said, no, be so I'll be on Friday when I come home. He said, I came wearing trousers. Now, she's packed all the trousers, threw them away, all the jewelry, threw them away. She said she cried throughout that night till the next day, asking God to have mercy. Why did you go that far? The word of God calls for separation. You are yoking with them. Every unbeliever friend of mine is a suspect to me. So, if it's a suspect, then you must have your safeguards. In a battlefield, you must have your safeguards. You must have your safeguards. All of us know our past before. Hallelujah. And he who thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. Every one of us, the type of lifestyle we lived before, is still hanging around and pursuing us. Hoping that he will catch us one day. If you were
drinking gulda before.
Obina, your eye look like person who drink gulda before.
Eh? If you drink gulda before, eh? No matter how you finish fasting and praying, 3 days dry fasting for powerhouse, immediately you jam the thing with, you know, coal from freezer.
You know, somebody the drinker. You know, when you go like this, you know your tongue, water go through your mouth. Amen.
It will haunt you. If you were a womanizer before, it will haunt you. Anything you were indulging in before, you gave your life to Christ, you have left it, but it has not forsaken you. It will be following you. Wherever you go, any opportunity, you go enter.
Those of us who love worldly music before, that we're going to nightclub,
up to now, including me, anytime those songs that we used to love in those days are singing, before you know why your leg is like this. It's normal.
See, somebody say, my pastor, I'm full of lust. I'm full of lust. I say, for lustful thoughts to come to you is not sin.
It is when you receive it, you welcome it and act, that it becomes sin. Temptation must come. Temptation must come.
Praise the Lord.
Brother, sister, temptation must come. And it is not sin when temptation comes. If it catch you. So when it comes, there must be something, a safeguard you have,
that will check it. I rebuke in the name of Jesus. They hit my leg. Father, have mercy. I need deliverance. So, you will hate it. You will reject it. You will curse it. You will do everything. And the more you do like that, the further you get from it. The more you do, but when you romance it, then into God, they say, there's nothing, like grace now. It's grace now. It's grace now. It's grace. It's grace. You know that when you were in the world, you were a womanizer. And then your prayer partner, now that you are a minister, now one Holy Ghost filled sister, gifted sister, now him be your prayer partner. You know
that you are eating.
You know why I'm defending you people? Because we are number one target. Ministers of God. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
And so God caused trouble to happen in the family of Abraham, so that they will separate. And before you know what?
You know the story. Abraham had to call Lot. Come, let's have a meeting. Amen. And you choose this way. If you choose left, I'll go right. If you choose right, I'll go left. Choose one. You can see we cannot live together.
It is God that caused that problem. There are some problems that you have. It is God forcing you to cause a separation.
Amen.
Especially when you are compromising the call of God upon your life. Compromising the call of God upon your life. The person you are living with, God can cause him to give you quit notice. The job where you are working, God can make them to sack you. God can do it.
And now watch it. After the separation took place, then God now came to Abraham. I like the way he put it. He said, now, Abraham. Can we read it? Hallelujah. Chapter 13. Praise the Lord. Verse 14. Chapter 13, verse 14. It says, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, he said, lift up now thy eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, unto thy seed forever. And then he began to bless him and bless him. But that blessing never came until he separated.
Some of you here, your blessing is waiting, awaiting separation. Separation from what?
In the course of this message, you will know what you are to be separated from. Because every one of us, we have different things to separate from. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's the truth. Because so many of us, we have come to Christianity.
Amen.
But what we have actually done is to only add Christ to our old lifestyle.
It cannot work.
Church, listen. The whole world, the target of the whole world, Satan, his target is the church. It's the church.
And things are happening all over the world now. For every one of us that has any little spirit of God in you to, you know, to be watchful, cautious.
Because that same Lot one time was in Sodom, and the Bible says he was vexed every day with what was happening. A righteous man. Sodomy. Now, is that not the same thing that is happening now in the world? Sodomy in the church.
There's a law now. They want United Nations to pass it as an article of the United Nations concerning hate speech.
What is hate speech? Hate speech is for you to stand and condemn somebody else's liberty. If my liberty is to walk naked on the streets and I say it is wrong, that is, you are now, it's a hate speech. You are trying to make people hate him. So, you'll be prosecuted.
So, if any church now stands and condemn any evil,
they can come and close that church. Now, you are promoting hate speech. Because you are saying something that will make a group of people to hate some other person's lifestyle. So don't speak against homosexuals. Don't speak against alcoholics. Don't speak against smokers. Don't speak against prostitution, because in America and the Western world, they license and they give them license to for prostitution. So if they catch you a prostitute, don't show them your license. That's all. They leave you.
Now,
government, give them license. You, church, you say it is sin.
It is wrong now to bring up your child and beat him.
You are not to beat your child. If they go to school, they teach them, every one of them, they teach them the emergency number, the police number, 911, Abi, or 911. They teach them how to dial it. If your father shouts too much at you, beat you, and there is any mark, the teacher will see the mark and ask the child, what happened to you? My daddy beat me. That's all. By evening, you will see social department, they will come and collect the child from you. So it's child abuse. See? At the same time too, that child that is with you, if he goes out from your house and misbehaves outside and they catch the child, they will come to you. Are you the parent? You say, yes. They say, we are taking a child because you are not able to take care of this child. See what he's doing outside. And yet you cannot beat him. Brother Aki in London was telling me yesterday. He said his wife beat their child. And then when they got home, that the teacher asked, and the child said, yes, my mommy beat me. Then the teacher called the mother to come. This child said, you beat him, is it true? And then he said, yes, I beat her. He said, it's a small girl. He said, yes, I beat her. He said, why will you beat her? He said, look at you now. I told her to come inside the house and sit down. She refused. She wants to run outside. If I don't do that now, Now, the same you again will come and meet me and say, I didn't take care of him. Okay, what do you want me to do now to keep her at home? He said, so you beat her? I said, yes. So the teacher look and say, okay, don't do that again. Don't beat him again. When you're picking, fall down for house with a scar. You go make sure, say, you know, go school, make the scar heal first. Because if he go, then go ask. So what is Satan doing? Satan is preparing a generation. And then when they take that child away, the child will remain with them until the child is 18 years old. And during that period, they indoctrinate the child. If the child see you, the mama, they will tell, no, you're not my mother. You're my daddy. You don't have a daddy. What is Satan doing? Satan is preparing a generation that will be godless, cheerless, lawless, immoral. That is what they are preparing them for. 50 years from now, those of you who may still be here, because some of you, if Christ doesn't come by old age, I shouldn't be here the next 50 years. What happened? I pray, may God carry me go. 50 years. Who my children will be praying for God to take me 100 years. 100 and something years for that. Praise the Lord. Those of you who will remain, you will wish, you are the ones that will be praying, oh Lord, come quickly. Oh Lord, come quickly. Oh Lord, come quickly. That is what Satan is arranging. Can't you see what is happening, church? That America for 50-something years, their next door neighbor, Cuba, they were in great enmity. And nothing else could bring peace until the Pope of Rome went and intervened. He is the one that went to restore bilateral relationship between America and Cuba. And President Obama was busy thanking Pope Francis. Thanking him. He's a man of peace. Can't you see something starting to happen? The first pope to address the American Congress. I was listening to that speech. I was telling my wife, I said, watch, this man is not going to mention God throughout. I said, watch it. He will not mention the name God. Because there are people sitting down there that don't believe in God. So he doesn't want to hurt them. So everybody must be carried. And then he kept emphasizing liberty, liberty, freedom, freedom, liberty, freedom, freedom until the end of the speech. Freedom. Freedom. Now he came together, addressed the whole religious leaders. They welcomed him. And then he went there to Cuba. See the way they received him. And then from there he came and see the way he was received. A head of a church. Oh! And people are looking at it and they are not looking at scripture about to be fulfilled. He's the man of peace. That is the beginning. Anywhere there is trouble, the Pope lands there, the trouble will stop. The trouble will stop. Can't you see that something is about to happen? Amen. That's exactly what I want to stress in this message. There must be a separation from somewhere so that we can get united somewhere. It is uniting time. We'll continue next Sunday. God bless you. Can we stand up, church? And we who are ministers, our responsibility to see these things and warn us that the day of redemption is today. All that is happening is the handwriting on the wall. God's judgment will soon strike on this wall. That's why we must make our calling and election sure. Don't go the way of the world. We are not to conform, but we are to be transformed. We are not to be adulterers. Apostle James called the friendship of this world as adultery. He says enmity with God. We'll look at all this in our next service.